Chapter 86. Ty.
I've got to stop her!
His words were meant as a call to action, a way to muster what courage he had left in an attempt to force himself to act. However, the cries of death, as men were being chopped down all around him, seemed to cloud his thoughts and unhinge his nerve. Even worse was the witch and her magic. They didn't stand a chance against such odds, and he knew it. Time seemed to slow, as if in a daze, as he stood there watching the horrific confrontation in front of him. What was left of the Sidaran guards were continuing to fall against the force of the Talosians' numbers. The savages had been cut nearly in half by the highly trained soldiers, but even with what remained, Ty and the others were still heavily outmatched. Ty watched his older brother, with blood running down his right arm, fight like a wild animal. He defended his position against two of the masked Northmen trying to flank him, cutting and slashing with his sickle, while blocking and thrusting with his short sword. Lord Baal and a few of his lancers were holding off another siege on Ty's right, with Baeldor leading the charge. Near the center, Ty's father was retracting a long dagger from the neck of one Northman while blocking the swing from another. Everything was in chaos. There was so much blood. Ever since Ty had begun using magic, the Northmen had given up their attempts at capturing him unharmed, and were now trying to do whatever they could to incapacitate him.
"Behind you!"
Liesa hollered, pulling Ty from his momentary lapse into self-doubt. Ty turned and raised a shield of air to protect against the swing of a large mace. The heavy metal object slammed against the protective barrier, forcing Ty back a step. The heavy-set Talosian was about the ugliest-looking thing Ty had ever seen. He looked as though someone had used his head to demonstrate the most proficient form of scalping and changed their mind halfway through. With a graceful arc of her blade, Liesa cut straight through the Northman's lower gut and, after blocking a second failed thrust, hacked off his arm and then finished him with a swift stab to the throat. Ty was still astounded by not only her ability to wield a sword, but by her utter lack of reaction to the gore she left in her wake. On his right, Mangora was working her way around the clash of warriors for a clear shot at his father and Lord Baal. Both were too preoccupied fending off the Northmen to see the danger they were in. This was Ty's chance to finally prove himself. So far, his actions, or lack of them, had shown him to be a complete imbecile when it came to the art of war. Liesa had humbled him enough to admit that. But that was all about to change. Ty had told his family not an hour earlier that he could fight. It was time to substantiate that claim. He straightened his back. Searching for the warmth of his magic, he started forward. Liesa grabbed him by the arm.
"What do you think you're doing?"
"I'm going after the witch."
"No, you're not. She'll kill you."
"Someone has to before she burns us all to death. And right now, I'm the only one who stands even half a chance."
Her mouth opened in an attempt to refute his statement, but nothing came out. She knew he was right. It was nice, though, to see how much she cared. Pulling away from her grip, Ty pushed on. Liesa was right behind him, ready to cut down anything in his path. She was his guardian. Ty had found this embarrassing at first, but it was growing on him faster than he would have liked to admit. He angled back toward the front of the house and worked his way around the back of the fighting. He had just moved into position when an angry Northman barreled through an open section in the Lancer's defensive line and rushed them. The big man didn't need a mask. His face was covered with the whitened flesh of numerous scarred-over injuries. Over his head, he swung a 10-point mace and chain flail. Liesa dove out of the way, and Ty barely had time to raise another shield before the spiked ball hit. The momentum was so strong that it threw Ty off balance, causing the edge of the ball to graze the side of his arm. It impacted the ground beside him, flinging dirt and debris around his legs. Ty cried out in pain, and grabbed his bloody arm. The sudden surge of adrenaline fueled his anger. He didn't have time for this. Mangora was almost within reach of his father, and he was stuck playing Dodge the Flail. Without waiting for the man to swing again, Ty gathered the wind once more. It came easier this time. Instead of using it as a shield, he lashed out at the ugly savage and punched him square in the chest. The force of the blow struck the man like a battering ram, hoisted by a team of giant rock trolls. The Talosian ploughed into the dirt. His chest had been completely caved in. A slight wheezing noise escaped the Northman's lips, as what little air remained inside was forced out. If only he had the capability of doing that on a larger scale, he could have stopped this battle before it had ever started. Unfortunately, Ty didn't possess the experience or the strength to handle something like that. Ignoring the pain and the flow of blood running down his arm, Ty turned around when he heard his father holler in pain. One of the savages had managed to impale him in the shoulder with a large dagger. His father grabbed the handle of the blade and punched the man in the face to obscure his attention. Pulling the blade out, he gave it back to the man, straight through his neck. The Northman gasped and dropped. His death left a clear opening for Mangora. Ty quickly raised his hands and willed his fire to come, but like the last half dozen times, nothing happened.
"What is wrong with me? Why won't you work?" he shouted at his open palms, as though in hearing his desperation they would somehow spark to life.
His father was left to face the witch on his own. Not 10 paces away, he watched Mangora raise her arms, seeing his father's unwavering courage as he willingly stood there, ready to give his life for his family, caused something inside of Ty to snap, and he realized, as cliche as it sounded, the only thing holding him back was himself. He was still afraid of who or what he was becoming. But in that moment, fear gave way to desperation. Ty turned and hit his father with a wave of air that sent him flying to the left and out of the way of Mangora's wrath. The old woman screeched when her fiery attack broke through their ranks and did nothing more than scorch the ground in front of the house. Ty took his father's place, filling in the breach. He raised his hands, and they immediately burst into flame. Mangora flinched when she saw the ignition. Her eyes were fierce. Ty could see the hatred in them.
"You want me, witch? Here I am."
He didn't have time to come up with something a bit wittier, but under the circumstances, it wasn't half bad. Not waiting on him to make the first move, she sent an entire lance of red-hot flame in his direction. Capturing him alive must have been lowered in priority to staying alive herself. Liquid flames, blue as midday sky, poured from Ty's hands as he met her attack. He'd never felt anything like it before. His body was numb and yet on fire at the same time. The two torrents remained locked in place, releasing red and blue ribbons of flame that burned everything they touched to ash. Mangora's face twisted in rage. Her lips curled upward, revealing a crooked set of yellowing teeth.
"Give it up, boy. You are no match for the likes of me."
Ty could feel his energy being depleted. His strength was waning. He watched as the flames worked their way back and forth between them. He fought to keep his focus. He didn't dare drop it. One slip, and it would all be over. And not just for him.
"What happened to taking me alive?"
His words were muffled under his strain. Mangora sneered.
"If we can't have you, nobody will."
Ty fought to hold on to his magic. It felt chaotic. He had no idea what he was doing. He was acting on pure instinct.
"I can feel you growing weaker. You don't have the strength. Stop while you can. I promise to be lenient. Spare your family's life.
Mangora's words were short and direct, due in part to her breathing growing heavier. Tai wanted to lash out at her, to tell her what he really thought of her, tell her how ugly she was, how bad her breath stank, how he was going to peel the rest of the flesh from her brittle bones and dance on her remains. But he didn't have the strength, so he kept his mouth shut. Beads of sweat dripped from his eyes and nose and chin. The two opposing sides of this battle separated, retreating to a safe distance to not get caught in the middle. Tai heard the sudden hum of a bowstring as an arrow flew in the witch's direction. She raised one of her hands and swiped it away, never losing a moment's concentration. She was strong. Tai would never have been able to manage something like that. He didn't know how much longer he could keep up his own concentration. Thankfully, he was starting to see the signs of strain on Mangora's face as well. Maybe she wasn't holding it together as much as she wanted him to believe. Another arrow flew by. Tai figured it had to be Breen. This time, Mangora sent a surge of air in the general direction of where the arrow had originated. Tai could hear someone behind him grunt as they were thrown from their feet. A moment later, he heard the thump of them hitting the ground further back. Tai could see the extra magic expended to block his brother's arrows had taken its toll on the old woman. Mangora released a loud, high-pitched wail as she sent one final pulse through the two streams of fire. Tai emptied every last bit of magic he had in order to keep her attack from consuming him as he met her fiery wave with one of his own. The two interconnecting lines of flame cancelled each other out with a loud crack of thunder. Both wielders were sent flying backwards. Everything went black before Tai hit the ground. Tai could hear his brother's voice, or maybe it was his father's. It sounded distant and muffled. He could feel his body being lifted. "He's not breathing," Tai heard someone say. Strangely enough, Tai hadn't noticed that fact until right then.
"Move! Let me through!"
The voice sounded like his sister. Suddenly, he felt a sharp pain in his chest, like someone had decided to make sure he was dead by beating on him with one of the Northmen's war hammers. Without warning, the air rushed back into his lungs, and he sat straight up and inhaled a deep gulp. The savages had ceased their engagement for the moment, as they struggled to help Mangora back to consciousness.
What happened?
Tai asked, still half-dazed.
Who was punching me?
I wasn't punching you, doofus, Adara said. I was forcing your heart to start working again.
What?
Oh, never mind. It'll take too long to explain. Liesa hovered nearby.
What happened to his hair?
Tai lifted his hand to rub the top of his head.
Had the Northman scalped him? It's white. Like an old man.
Quiet, Liesa, her father said, trying to offer a rebuke.
He was rather preoccupied with studying the change himself.
She won't be down for long,
Tai's father said, adding the voice of reason back to the conversation. Tai reached out.
Here, help me up.
Breen steadied Tai as he struggled to his feet. He held his arm as he tried to regain his balance. They had barely made it to the front door when a high-pitched holler forced them to turn.
What are you fools doing?
Mangora hissed from the other side of the yard as she pushed the ugly Talosians off her.
I said kill them! Kill them all!
She collapsed again to her hands and knees as the Northmen lifted their weapons and charged.
Where is Nialis?
Tai's father grabbed Liesa by the arm.
Take Tai inside. Protect my family.
He grabbed his bow and knocked an arrow as he spun on his heels. With one swift move, he sent a shaft flying into the oncoming attack. One of the masked Talosians in front dropped face first into the dirt with the shaft buried to the feathers in his chest. Tai's brother seized the short window of opportunity and pulled the last knife from his belt. He released it with pinpoint accuracy into the neck of another charging Northman. Spurting blood with every beat of his heart, the man still managed to cross half the yard before realizing what had happened. From the front window seat, Tai watched as the last of Overlord Baal's guards were forced to defend against the onslaught, leaving Liesa's father to face Baldur on his own. Tai was too weak to even get out of his seat, let alone mount a daring rescue. All he was able to do was watch and pray. He could see the tension in Liesa's jaw as she was forced to stand by and watch the others fight. She clearly didn't find her new position as a nursemaid too appealing. Even with his proficiency with the blade, Lord Baal was clearly outmatched in both age and strength. The huge Northman muscled his way through Baal's depleting defenses. Back and forth, Baal swung his longsword, blocking Baldur's attacks. The Overlord's stamina looked to have all but given out when the vicious Northman pulled a dagger from his waist and cut Baal's already wounded leg out from under him. He fell hard, and his sword dropped from his fingers, too weak to maintain their grip any longer. Baal's head spun about as he looked for help, but there was no one left to come to his defense. He crawled back to his knees and tried reaching for his sword, but Baldur kicked it out of reach. The Talosian took his time as he stepped in front of him, swinging his great axe like a pendulum, plainly taunting Liesa's father with the surety of how he would meet his end. He leaned over and whispered something into Baal's ear. By the way Baldur had looked at Liesa, Tai had a pretty good feeling what he was saying. Baldur stood back up and raised his axe. Tai couldn't watch. He was about to close his eyes when the buzz of a bowstring forced his attention away from the window and to the front door, where he caught a glimpse of Liesa slowly lowering one of the unused bows. Tai's head spun back to the window. Her arrow was sticking out of Baldur's left eye. He screamed in pain and dropped to both knees. His axe fell from his fingers and landed on the ground beside him as he struggled to pull the shaft free. Overlord Baal, with what looked to be every last bit of strength he possessed, hefted himself onto his good leg. He leaned over and wrapped his bloody fingers around the momentarily forgotten weapon and hefted the huge cleaver into the air. Shouting Talosian curses as he struggled to pull the long shaft from his eye, Baldur was oblivious to Baal standing over him. With a sharp roar, Baal swung downward, letting gravity take over as the great northerner's head separated from his body in a spray of blood. It rolled across the ground and stopped with his face looking up at the sky, still wearing a dumb look of disbelief.
"I told you I'd take your head," Baal spat as he collapsed to his knees. He gripped the axe for support.
After seeing their leader decapitated and the witch still on the ground, what remained of the Northman horde abandoned Mangora and retreated for the woods.
"Get back here, you cowards!"
Barely able to stand, she sent a small ball of flame after them, but she was too weak to prove worthwhile in compelling them to turn around. They melted into the woods and disappeared from sight.
"Get back to the house!"
Tai's father shouted to the others, and they began a quick retreat toward the front door. Breen and one of the two remaining lancers helped Baal inside. Tai's father was the last one in. He shut the door behind them and moved to join Tai at the window to see what Mangora would do next.
"Do you believe you have won?"
the old woman shouted. The hatred in her voice was unforgiving.
"I have only just begun."
Raising her arm in the direction of the northwestern woods, a red pulse shot from her ring and tore its way into the surrounding trees.
Come to me.
Who is she talking to?
Liesa asked, trying to peek around the others at the front window. Tai glanced at Breen. He had the sinking feeling he knew the answer.